It is just after 16 minutes past 12. Let's have a quick chat now with our business futurist, Maurice Misiolowski, who is on the line with us. Maurice, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very, very good. Happy Tuesday, everyone, and great to be back on with you, James.
Yeah, absolutely, Maurice. It's nice to hear your voice as well. And, you know, I think we always cover some great ground on your Tuesday segments. And I guess the big story in the futurism world at the moment is the launch of OpenAI's ChatGPT-5, which apparently is a big deal. Now, it's a little bit restricted access to it in Hong Kong. We can access many tools, but that one's a little bit restricted. But nevertheless, you know, it's obviously going to have a huge impact around the world. So I thought it was interesting maybe to understand a little bit more about the difference between this and what was there before and whatever happened to GPT 1, 2, 3, and so on. excuse me. Maybe you can throw a little bit of light on what is the difference we can expect with GPT-5?
Yeah, absolutely. So 1 through 4 have gone to God. I mean, that's the end of the story for that. They've literally disappeared off the planet.
Right.
So GPT-5, last time you and I were on, we actually talked about the imminent arrival of this thing. So it's been one of those well-leaked, you know, nobody's really sure when type approaches, but we knew or we thought it was going to be somewhere towards the end of July, and they held out for a couple of weeks while they tweaked, apparently, and got it to be where it is. So what's the big deal is the question behind all of that. Previous versions of ChatGPT, and we know it's one flavor of artificial intelligence, there are Perplexity, there are literally thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of other programs. But this is the Xerox, the Kleenex, it's the first brand that comes to mind. And when it does something, it tends to be the market voice for look at me, look at how different things have become since the last version, now that we have the new one. And 5 arrived Australia time, Hong Kong time, last Thursday morning. It was Wednesday last week in the States. And it arrived with a great deal of fanfare of being very, very different from what was about. And also it arrived as in ready to use, James. So the next time you went into ChatGPT, it was there. You didn't have to download it. You didn't have to ask for it. It just was there, and everything else that was there before it wasn't there anymore. Mm. So big announcement, ready to use and off the started running.
For those of us or those people that don't use, I've used a little bit ChatGPT, but for those people who don't use these kind of things, I suppose we can equate it to the latest iPhone. We've gone from an iPhone 15 to an iPhone 16 or something of that ilk, Maurice. Would that be right?
Absolutely. Mm. It absolutely is. It's an upgrade. Each one of these are an upgrade. They're a next step. And what each one does is take us a little bit further into the realms of this thing, this artificial intelligence, this thing that has a mechanical brain. It doesn't have a human brain in any sense whatsoever. It doesn't have wisdom. It can't see around corners, but it can think far quicker than you and I might be able to do, and that's because it's a computer, and it's been fed a whole lot of stuff, so it knows far more than I ever could anyway. It's literally been fed every book on the planet and beyond. So what ChatGPT, the new version, does and what it says is very, very different than the previous versions is it can decide for itself how best to think for you. So in versions 1 through 4, there were subversions. You know, using your analogy of the iPhone, and there was the iPhone Maxi, there was the middle one, there was the bottom one. You kind of chose which one suited you best, and that's the one that you used. And with ChatGPT, it was the same. There was one that thought a little bit deeper, one that was a bit quicker, one that was better for writing reports, and you went in and you chose the particular version you thought was best. ChatGPT 5, when it came out, said none of that anymore. There is one version for everybody, and this version will be automatic, if I can change analogies to a car. The other one was manual. You had to choose which gear you wanted.
Right.
This one is automatic. Tell me in the simplest of language, it doesn't matter whether it's Mandarin, English, Spanish, French, or whatever else you speak, just tell me, as you would tell your mate, your friend, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to think about? What do you want me to give you? I'll decide the best model. I'm not being arrogant, me being ChatGPT about that, but if you need something really deep, if you want me to go into research mode, I will go into research mode. If I sense and you tell me you just want a quick response, that's exactly what you'll get. So I can switch gears for you really, really easily. Mm. That's the big, big difference. This thing went from being a manual car to an automatic car in ChatGPT 5, and it upped the stakes of beginning to be able to think deeper and possibly more like a human might do.
So it's almost trying to figure out what you actually want.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, its role is to give you what you want at the right. end, yeah. but it's to figure out exactly what the best way to give it to you is. Does James really want me to do deep research? Does the question and what he wants out of it really need me to go away for 15 minutes, half an hour? And it will do that, and it will tell you. So if you asked it for which you can do, for a business, for a business report, I need to know about all my competitors that play the violin in Hong Kong. I need to understand what they play, where they play, what concerts they've played, what money they might make, who books them, and you keep going on and on about the things you want to know. That's a really detailed research report, and it will say to you, great, got all your parameters. I think we also need a little bit of this spice. We need to know, not just Hong Kong, but where they come from and whatever else. Is this what you want? And if you say yes, it will tell you, look, give me a half an hour, or give me 20 minutes, it'll actually say to you, and I'll come back with a very, very detailed report, and that should be not more than enough, but that should be a great start for you to use. Whereas if you said just find me all the violin players in Hong Kong, it might do that in a minute or so and just come back to you immediately and say, this is who's on, this is where they're playing, this is what, what it will cost, and this is where you might do the booking.
Mm. Yeah, I find it fascinating, actually, and I did play with it a couple of days ago, and I asked it to make a very specific document for a very specific purpose, which was quite niche, not something that you would find every day for a specific business purpose. And I must admit, I fed in about 3-4 lines of what I wanted, and it pretty much spat out 95% of what I wanted as a Word document, ready to go. I must admit, I was pretty impressed, actually. So
yeah, it's quite incredible. And the more information you give it, which is called prompting, the more information you give it about who you are, the sort of information you want, the sort of things that you would like said, the language that you would prefer it spoken. I'm not talking about English or Mandarin, but whether your tone is casual, whether you need to be business, whatever else. So the more you tell it, the more likely it is to spit out that response for you in a way that really satisfies your itch. Now, with this ChatGPT 5 that's launched, it also comes for the first time ever. What I've just described to you is a prompt, and in the prompt, traditionally, I and many, many other people would say exactly what I've just said to you. Be a business person, talk in this tone, use this kind of language and whatever. This one actually has personality built in, and you can choose. You can override it, but it literally has personalities like cynic, listener, robot, nerd, and what each one of those are is a predefined way that it will respond to you, predefined set of language, a predefined way that it will tell you the answers. You don't have to use any of them, but they're built in. And to me, that's a really big step forward, because we are now not only using ChatGPT or whatever other form we have as a way to outsource our thinking, but also our emotions and our personality.
Now, I think one of the things that fascinates me is that it doesn't matter if you're rude to it, because when you're putting instructions into these kind of beasts, you kind of go, please will you do blah 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 for me, and I'm finding myself, it's very difficult to not say please. It's a machine, I keep telling myself. I can tell it what I like, and I can tell it as many times, and I don't have to be polite. Oh, would you possibly do that again for me with blah, blah, blah? There is a mindset, Morris, isn't there, that you have to sort of change?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And you and 99% of the rest of the world, like me, do exactly that. In psychological terms, it's called anthropomorphic, which is taking inanimate objects and giving them human persona. And we are doing that increasingly with AI, and that's one of the issues I have with it, that it's really, really hard for the vast, vast majority of us mere mortals to separate, where human and where AI finishes. And this version, I think, pushes even more into that. It gives you more of a reason to say please and thank you, not that it requires it, but because it's language, the way it mirrors the way you like to see the world and the words you use and the things that are important to you, because it mirrors that so well back to you, you really do feel like you're talking to another person.
So I don't really know whether I should, you were talking about you can have sort of different responses. It could be cynical or this kind of thing. So now, should I readjust my brain and not think of it as a machine, but think of it, dare I say it, as a human being?
It's a really interesting discussion because this debate just goes on and on. I mean, it's just had in so many forums. There are a whole group of people that say, and there's research that backs it, if you say please and thank you, if you treat it like more of a human, you get a better response out of it. And there's another group of people that says, look, this thing is just a machine. It's just a piece of coding. Now, my answer actually falls between the two. I think that by saying please and thank you, me as the human, actually feels better about it. We feel more engaged and more energized by what it's giving back to us.
Yeah.
So the conversation just feels more natural. I don't think the machine requires, although some of the research says it does, but I think we require it in order to feel that we are engaged with it. If we're rude and abrupt and we're not really enjoying it, we're just being gruff and we're just asking it for things, I think as humans we don't feel as involved with what it's giving us and the process and the outcomes and the discussion we might have. So I think it really is more about us and how we want to be treated and treating the machine like that, even though it doesn't need it at all, rather than what the machine wants itself. And I often say, because many people have said to me, I just don't feel I've asked it 12 times to do something and I just can't ask it again. It's a machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep asking it. It doesn't care. It doesn't take offense. It doesn't get upset. You can ask it a million times and keep asking it to do it again and again. It doesn't care. You do. So your answer to me is twofold. One, I think as a human, it feels more intuitive if we do treat it with some semblance of civility. But let's remember this thing is a tool like a hammer, a screwdriver, or anything else. It still has to do what we want for it, and we have to bend it to our will, and we have to make it submit, or we are just going down an Arnold Schwarzenegger road, which none of us wants to go down.
Mm. Oh, wow, that's fascinating stuff, isn't it? Just very quickly before we wrap it up, if we can't access GPT-5, are there other similar ones coming or available that we should also be looking at?
Yeah, what we're finding is that literally there are thousands and thousands every day, and that's not an exaggeration, of either specialist or generalist AI tools. Claude 3.5 is another big one. Google's Gemini 1.5 is another. There's GPTs, of course. There's Mistral. There's Llama. There literally is thousands of them. If you just do a search, go back to good old Google, just the good old-fashioned Google, type in search and type in AI engine. And if there's something specific you want, so if you want it to do a piece of video, you want to do some editing of a photo, you want it to write some music for you, type in that after AI and see what comes up as well. And you'll begin to find your path to some of these very specialist AI tools.
Maurice, fascinating stuff. Many thanks for giving us a bit of an insight into the new GPT-5 and some others out there. We will look forward to talking to you same time next week. Have a great week.
Pleasure as always. Have a great week, everyone.